I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes from a few verses in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. I've listed the relevant parts of the text below this clip. I've quoted the verses. The law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he does away with the first in order to establish the second. Hebrews 10, 1 to 9. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. The first, the second. The opening verse tells us what the first is, the law. The second is the realities. It is plain as a pikestaff that this writer is speaking about the law given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai for Israel, and Christ establishing the second or new covenant, the realities. The shadows of the old covenant giving way to the realities of the new covenant. By Christ perfecting those shadows, fulfilling them, rendering them obsolete, fulfilling them, completing them, and bringing in the reality. All that's been made clear in the chapters leading up to Hebrews chapter 10. And here the writer makes it plain as can be. The law, full of shadows, but the realities in the new covenant. Christ brought in the realities. He takes away the first. He fulfills the first. He abolishes the first. He completes the first, that he may establish the second. The two cannot exist together. The realities must replace the shadows. The shadows must yield and give way to the realities. The old covenant and the new cannot go side by side. They cannot run mixed together. The old has gone, the new has come. Christ has dealt with the first and brought in the second. He takes away the first that he might bring in the second, in order that, so that he might bring in the second. How does New Covenant theology read that? Precisely as I've just read it to you. Christ came under the law, fulfilled it, completed it, rendered it obsolete, and brought in the New Covenant. Believers are not under the Old Covenant, but under the New, and so on. How do Covenant theologians, Reformed men, lawmen read it? Well, we're talking about the ceremonial law, perhaps. Well, that's a division that's not known in Scripture. So let me ask a question. Christ did away with the first ceremonial law to establish the second ceremonial law. Is that right? I thought he did away with the ceremonial law, full stop. And what is this second ceremonial law? Is there a ceremonial law now in the Gospel? Nonsense. Christ didn't just deal with the ceremonies. He came under the law. He was made under the law, Galatians 4:4. He fulfilled the law. Not some part of it. All of it. Ah, you say, but it's all talking about shadows here. And so it is. The entire law was a shadowy law. It was full of shadows. But the shadows are bound up intimately with the commands, the governances, the covenant, the entire shooting match. Christ, by fulfilling the shadows, has fulfilled the law and completed the law and rendered the law obsolete. It's not a contrast between ceremonies in the new covenant and ceremonies in the old. It's a contrast between two covenants. The old covenant has gone, because Christ has made sure it went That was his very purpose in coming into the world. He says, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." And in fulfilling that will, in completing that will, he fulfilled the old covenant, which was always God's intention, and brought in the new. I won't prolong this clip. There's not much more to argue, is there? Let's live upon it. Let's rejoice, believer, in the glorious new covenant. Thank God that Christ took all the shadows, the sacrifices, the priesthood, the temple, the lights, the washings, every aspect of it, the Sabbath, the altar. And he became all that to me in reality. I have an altar. I have a priest, a great high priest. Indeed, he's made me a priest. I have a sacrifice, one that takes away every stain and spot of sin, Jesus Christ and his precious blood shed for me. I have a righteousness before God. I have this priest who ever lives to make intercession for me. I have this perfection of a covenant in which I bask and enjoy God's favor. That's the glory of the new covenant. However does covenant theology survive in face of Hebrews 10, 1 to 9? I don't want to go down that route of trying to mix two contrasting covenants, one abolished and fulfilled, and the other the reality. I don't want shadow and reality all mixed up together. Blessed be God in Christ, I have the reality. All believers do. Give up the lawmen and their construct, their templates, their confessions imposed upon such scriptures, and bask in the liberty and the joy and delight in the pleasure of knowing that Christ is the reality of it all. It's not a shadow now. It's all real. And it's ours, believer, in the Lord Jesus Christ. New covenant theology made simple.